Let us give our attention now to Brother Kent Morden of the Woodvale Congregation in Edmonton, as he helps us to avoid imitating the bad example set by another disloyal one, Solomon.
Many would say he had it all. He built a magnificent temple for pure worship. He even wrote parts of the Bible, and he had unsurpassed material prosperity. And Jehovah uniquely blessed him with incredible wisdom. So what happened to Solomon? Well, let's turn in our Bibles for the answer. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11, and we'll have a look at verse 9 and 10. You'll notice that as your eye scans over the verses there, that Solomon started to develop a serious heart problem. His heart inclined away from Jehovah. He would no longer obey Jehovah's reminders. He went on to accumulate thousands of horses, hundreds of wives, and eventually practiced false worship right in front of the temple that he had built. Understandably, Jehovah was furious with him. What led Solomon to such disloyalty? Ironically, Solomon would not apply his own counsel. Let's take a look at it in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 4, and we'll read it together. It says, "Better is a poor but wise child than an old but stupid king who no longer has enough sense to heed a warning." Even a child will listen to warnings. Careful crossing the street. Look both ways. Don't touch that. It's hot. But not Solomon. No, Solomon tried to rationalize his way around the warnings that Jehovah provided. So Jehovah said, "You must not marry foreign wives." And Solomon perhaps thought, "Well, Jehovah didn't say anything about Egyptian women. And look, I am a king. I deserve to marry a princess." His foreign wives gradually inclined his heart to abandon true worship. If it can happen to Solomon, it can happen to us. In order to protect ourselves from following his bad example, we need to do two things. One, avoid overconfidence. And two, protect ourselves from gradual moral decay. Let's talk about overconfidence. This could lead us to ignore Jehovah's guidance. In Solomon's case, he went on to acquire over 700 wives. Now, if that isn't overconfidence. True Christians must never consider themselves to be above the reminders and counsel, the theocratic direction that we receive on things like misuse of the internet and inappropriate conduct with a member of the opposite sex. Whether we're an elder in the congregation, a ministerial servant, a pioneer, or even if we've been in the truth for many years, we must avoid rationalizing that such warnings do not apply to us. Secondly, we need to protect ourselves from gradual moral decay. In fact, we could actually refer to this as truth decay. Because when that enamel, those moral boundaries that identify us with Jehovah, that identify us as true Christians, start to wear down, that's what happens. And in fact, when you think about a cavity, it doesn't actually happen overnight. It develops over a long period of time. And so it is that if we were to allow selfish or worldly thoughts and actions to take root in our mind, then we may not see immediate negative consequences. But over time, that cavity will work its way through the enamel, right to the bone, right to that solid faith that we thought we had. And in fact, It could even kill the roots that we thought we had in the truth. Do you see why permissive thinking gradually breaks down our faith and our love and loyalty for Jehovah? Let's look at it another way. Have you ever sat around a campfire and maybe the wind blows up a little bit and it blows those burning embers right at you? Well, what do? Well, immediately you respond and you try to protect yourself. You might even move to another seat. What are we protecting ourselves from? Well, let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 6 for the answer. Proverbs chapter 6, and let's read verse 27 together. It says, "Can a man rake fire to his chest and not burn his garments?" Isn't this shocking? Rake fire into his chest? Who would do that? Our initial response would be to quickly protect ourselves from getting burned. But interestingly, what would happen if a person became irrational and they convinced themselves that they would not get burned? In fact, they felt that they could rake that fire right onto their chest. Would it change the outcome? When that initial thought, that ember of temptation starts to flicker in our mind or heart, we need to take action immediately. Well, what sort of thing should we take action against? What sort of thing should we reject? Well, number one, flirting in person or by electronic messaging, because this could lead to a serious wrongdoing. Secondly, viewing pornography, because it fuels wrong desires and poisons loving relationships. It would be similar to pouring gas right on the fire. And thirdly, dating or marrying an unbeliever, because it puts our spirituality at serious risk. In the following video, note a circumstance that could easily test a Christian's loyalty. Now, as you watch, notice how this elder sees that ember of temptation and takes action to protect his loyalty to Jehovah.
Brother Elliot, my ex-husband won't stop calling me. And every time he does call, it just brings up all of these emotions.
You got a text message, honey.
Oh, can you see who it's from?
Yeah, it's Caitlin. She's just thanking you for listening to her today. She seems to be talking with you a lot lately. Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. She's just going through some issues. Being newly baptized and all, she likes to bounce things off the elders.
But does it always have to be with you?
Of course not. For some reason, she feels comfortable talking to me. Have I ever given you any reason to be concerned over the way I shepherd sisters?
No, never.
So don't worry. I'm just giving her time to get familiar with the other elders on the body.
Okay, I'm going to get ready for bed.
Okay, I'm going to stay up for a bit and work on my talk.
Okay.
Avoiding the trap of overconfidence. Solomon had served Jehovah his whole life, but with time he started relying on his own thinking. It's Caitlin again. Can you talk? Sure I can. Wait a minute. I do want to help Caitlin, but if I'm not careful... How did I not see this? I guess I just thought... And that's the problem. Relying on my own thinking. Hey, Mike, it's Terrence. Sorry to call you so late. But Caitlin just texted. Yeah. She's been having a rough time lately. Do you think you and I can have a conference call with her? And plan a shepherding visit? Great. Thanks a lot.
How did the brother protect his loyalty to Jehovah? Well, rather than rely on himself and help this sister by texting her privately, which actually did come to mind, he saw that ember and remembered the disloyalty of Solomon. He took action to divert the temptation and invited another elder to join him in a conference call with that sister. We too must safeguard ourselves, safeguard our loyalty to Jehovah. Minimizing warnings would jeopardize our special relationship with our Heavenly Father. As Proverbs 3 and 5 tells us, do not rely on your own understanding. Humbly recognize your need to depend on Jehovah and not on yourself. Let's always reject overconfidence and act quickly against truth decay. If you do, unlike Solomon, you will be known for your loyalty.